So how are we? You guys doing well? Good? Awesome. Hey, do me a favor for a second and just imagine that you're in jail. Imagine you're in jail and you have no idea how you got there. You can't for the life of you think of why you're there. You're just all of a sudden in this huge cell with a lot of other angry people. And you're listening to these stories about how people got into this room, and all of the stories are different except one common thread that's through every single one of the narratives. Somebody else is to blame. Somebody else's fault. That's the reason why they're in this jail. And as you're listening to these stories, you start to wonder, hey, am I here because of somebody else? So you start racking your brain trying to figure out, how did you get here? And for the life of you, you honestly cannot remember anything that you did that would warrant jail time. You didn't break any laws. So you start to wonder, maybe I am here because of somebody else. Somebody else did something wrong. They threw me under the bus. I took the fall. They blamed me. Somebody else is to blame for me being here. And you start thinking about that over and over again. And now you're retracing every negative thing that's happened in your life. Everything that's happened to you, everything that's happened because of you, trying to figure out who's to blame. And you start expanding this roster in your head. And now you also include anything negative in the world that you don't like. Because somebody's got to take the blame for that too. And the more you assign blame, the more just like bitter you get. And as you're standing in there in this jail cell, you're holding on to the bars and you start to think about, you know what? Maybe this jail cell is revealing something to me that I didn't know. Maybe I'm figuring something out about myself that I never knew was true, that maybe I'm a victim. And you start going through all the things and the people and the circumstances that have done stuff to you, stuff that you've been a part of, and you realize, yeah, I don't like this jail cell at all, but this jail cell I'm kind of grateful for because it's making me realize that I'm a victim. And then your bitterness turns to anger. And the more you think about it, the anger turns into outrage. This is ridiculous. I'm a victim. Somebody else is to blame. This is outrageous that I'm even here. And you start to sound like everybody else in that jail cell. And you're saying the same things. And your grip on the bars just get tighter and tighter and tighter. Then all of a sudden, the cell door opens up. And the guard calls your name. You're free to go. Somebody else bailed you out. And even though you can walk out free right now, completely free, you're actually having a hard time letting go of these bars. You can stay in the cell as a victim blaming people, or you can walk out free because somebody bailed you out. Now, you would think that this would be an easy decision, right? There's not a lot of thinking involved in this. But every single day, more and more, this is proving true to be a difficult decision for everybody. Everybody is going to have to face this. What I mean is that there is a jail cell out there that is trying to take you captive and hold you down. And it's playing out more and more every single day. And it's trying to keep you captive by changing your identity to something that it's not. And then also causing you to change your default response to negative things in your life to a response that won't bring any reconciliation. It won't bring hope. It won't bring healing. The cycle is playing out more, and it is a dangerous cycle, not only for you, not only for me, but for everybody else. And it's a cycle that started all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. So we've got three more weeks in this series after today, Paradise Lost. And if you've missed any of it, you can catch it up on our website. And what we're trying to do is open our eyes to what's really going on in the world by looking all the way back to where it originally started. Because there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun in our world. In fact, when I hear people say, hey, we live in a progressive world now, we're progressive forward, I always kind of find that kind of comical because we're not progressive at all. As a world, we're entirely regressive. We're in the same cycle that started in Genesis chapter 3, going over and over and over again, and we're not getting out of it. So in this series, we want to open our eyes to that so we can recognize this cycle and not fall into it. That's the whole point of it. So let me catch you up on the sequence of events. In Genesis 1 and 2, God created the world by speaking it into existence. He spoke it into existence. It's pretty amazing. And it was perfect, absolute paradise. And then the pinnacle of God's creation was man and woman. He created us in his image. And in all of creation, man and woman are the only things that God got done with and said, you know what? That's not average. That's not okay. That's very good. We're the only ones. We're very good. And Adam and Eve were the first man and woman. They were flawless, absolutely flawless. They were in paradise. There was no broken relationships. There was no sickness. They all had six packs. Their body was perfect. It was awesome. Somebody's excited about that. All right. It was perfect. But then Adam and Eve listened to a lie from Satan. And he said it in the form of a question. He said, did God really say? He's just trying to discredit God's word, and he's trying to get us to be the ones that question God, that we can't trust God. That's what Satan's implying. And then he fed him an accusation. He said, actually, you're not enough, Adam and Eve. Even though you're created to be image bearers of God, you're perfect right now. Your body, you have a six pack. Like, it's great right now. But you're still not enough. You can be like God. So they believed that lie, and they bought into the accusation. Then they gave into the temptation that Satan promised would make them enough. But it fell way short. And now Adam and Eve, all they realize is that they just rebelled against God. And that the perfection of his creation is now lost. They broke it because of their sin. So they're just overwhelmed with guilt and shame. They try to hide. They try to hide what happened. They try to hide their guilt and shame. They try to hide who they are. But God comes looking for them. This is the first piece of good news. And he finds them. And he calls out to them. He calls them out of hiding. He gives them a chance to confess what happened. Here's what happens next. This is Genesis 3, starting in verse 8. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called out to them, where are you? And he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? It's never a good question if somebody asks you that. It's never good. Like, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? The man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it. Guys, never say that it's her fault. Okay, like personal experience, my wife is in here right now. It's never gonna work out for you well if you say it's her fault. Husbands, if it's your fiance, girlfriend, whatever, just free marriage counseling. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? Well, the serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. Did you hear how they answered God right there? Did you see how they responded? What'd they do? There we go, they played two cards, the blame card and the victim card. Those are the two cards they played. And that's what we've got to unpack today, because those two cards are getting played more and more every single day, and the consequences are not good whether we realize it or not. Now, to be clear, this is one of those topics where your words can be misunderstood and twisted very easily. That's not what I want to happen today. I want to be clear. But that's the nature of blaming, isn't it? Twisting reality in order for you to pass on responsibility to someone else for something else. I mean, that's what Adam and Eve did. That's what Adam did. I mean, they're in paradise. God creates the Garden of Eden, and he says, go, guys. This is a reflection of my glory, a reflection of my goodness. I want you to enjoy this with me. Eat whatever you want. Here in the Garden of Eden, lasagna is actually good calories. If you want to eat In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A, you'll actually get stronger. That's manna from heaven. This is great. So if In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A are going to help you get healthier, why are you picking fruit? I am not picking the apple. I'm going for the double-double. And all you guys know that I'm a crazy In-N-Out fan. Like, all right, I'm going to get off on a tangent here. But God says they can eat whatever they want. This is here for you to enjoy me. This is a reflection of how much I love you and want you to enjoy this with me. You can do whatever you want eating-wise, except this one tree. I don't want you to eat from that. Everything else is fair game. Just don't eat from that tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what tree did they eat from? That one. Nobody put a gun to their head. This was completely on their own. Now, eventually, everything's going to come out. Know this, that truth eventually gets exposed. Sin eventually gets exposed. So as your pastor, let me tell you something that may be a little hard to hear, but we all need to hear this. This is for you. This is true of me. This is true of you. This is true of everyone. Your sin may be personal, but it's never private. It's never private. Eventually, it's going to come out. Eventually, it's going to get exposed. And it's going to affect you in areas of your life that you didn't recognize or didn't even think about. It will affect other people's lives in ways that you never anticipated. It's like throwing a rock into a pond. You throw a rock into a pond, it's going to send ripples everywhere, right? Well, those ripples are going to hit things or go to places in that pond that you never thought would happen when you threw that rock in. Sin works the exact same way. It may be personal, but it's never private. It's coming out at some point. But the great news is this, and we hit on this the last 2 weeks. The great news is this, you don't have to hide. God says, bring it out to me. Confess it to me. Repent of it to me. That's where sin loses all of its power, is when you bring it out into the light. And when we do that, when we confess it, when we acknowledge it, when we ask for forgiveness, when we turn from our sins, you will always, always, always be met with forgiveness and grace. Every single time, it's a guarantee. Psalm 103:12 says this, that God has removed us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. Do you know how far east is from west? A long way, like it's a long way. That's great news. God is saying that if you bring this to me, if you repent of it, I'm going to separate your sin from you an infinite distance. That's great news. And Adam and Eve had the exact same shot. They had the exact same chance. But that's not what they did. Instead, first, Adam decided to play the blame card. First, he had the audacity to blame God. That was the first thing he did. He said, God, the woman you gave me. What he's saying is, hey, God, hey, if you wouldn't have made her, we wouldn't have been into this spot. I mean, this guy is bold. Like, he is bold. I would love to have seen Eve's face in this moment. He said, hey, God, like, I don't mean to criticize you or anything, but this is kind of on you. I don't know why you're talking to me about this. And then he throws Eve under the bus too. He says, hey, she gave me the fruit. Then I ate it, but she gave it to me. It's her fault. Eve joins the party too. She says it was the serpent. He's the one that deceived me. Everything is everybody else's fault, not mine. They're to blame. That's what Adam and Eve are doing right here. And does that sound very similar to 2021 culture in the United States? Everybody else is responsible for everything. They're to blame, not me. It's their fault. This is how blame works. Blame causes me to villainize someone else in order to validate myself. Like, well, look what they did. Look how jacked up they are. Can you believe that they did that? I know I did this thing, but it's because they did that. Let me fill in the blank. Let your imagination go. Like Adam and Eve are trying to justify and explain themselves. They're having to validate themselves, what they did, by passing off the responsibility onto someone or something else. And we do that all the time. We do that all the time in our culture. We blame other people for whatever we want. We blame our circumstances. We blame God. God, you made me this way. You put me in this spot. We blame our victimhood. Well, because this thing happened to me, that's why I did this. And we'll get to that one in a second. This has just become normal in our culture. We have become experts. We have our PhD in placing blame on other people or other things because of what we've done or what's happened to us, and that gets you nowhere. This is the cycle that has to be broken. Because all this ends up doing is if you pass blame, what you're really doing is passing responsibility. That gets you nowhere, and it just ends up hurting you. It's a jail cell that you can't get out of. Blaming people or blaming things, that doesn't bring any kind of reconciliation or resolution. It doesn't bring any kind of healing. And all it does is strengthens division. That's it. I mean, look how quickly Adam threw God and Eve under the bus. And he didn't even take a breath. He says, it's her fault. It's your fault, God. Dividing himself. Do you think reconciliation is going to come very easily between those two people? Not now. You're going to have to work at it hard simply because of blame. You know how it plays out today? Could sound like this. Well, I mean, why did I go outside of my marriage for sex? Well, it's because my wife, she didn't give me the attention that I need. And if she would have given me the attention that I need, then I never would have been in this spot. So it's her fault. Like, why am I talking trash about this person behind their back? Well, they're the ones that stabbed me in the back. If they wouldn't have done that, then I would never be in this spot. Of course, I wouldn't talk about them. If they wouldn't have done that first, they're to blame. Why did I cheat on my taxes? I wouldn't say I cheated per se, more of just kind of cut the corners, but it's because of the government. Because the government is so corrupt, that's the reason why. Don't look at me and what I've did with the IRS. My money is just a drop in the bucket. Look at them, it's their fault. That's why I did it. Gets you nowhere. Blaming other people. Man, we're so good at blaming other people for things that we've done or things that have happened to us. We're even great at blaming other people or groups of people for something that's happened on the other side of the world that we have nothing to do with. We're great at placing blame. But it gets you nowhere. No reconciliation, no healing, and it strengthens division. We live in such a divided world, do we not? And the division, it, like each day, it just gets more, it just increases a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. What happens when you keep dividing something? Eventually it's gonna tear. I mean, we're seeing that happen today. Abraham Lincoln famously said, a house divided against itself cannot what? Cannot stand. We're seeing that happen today. Blaming other people or groups of people or events or circumstances or whatever you want to blame, all that does is strengthen a divide. It strengthens a divide between you and another person or a group of people or whatever. It gets you nowhere. And what's happening right now is that this blame culture that we live in, it's starting to seep into the church. We as the church are starting to do this too. We've become quick at blaming other people or blaming whichever political party we don't like or blaming whichever president we don't like or blaming whatever media outlet we don't like. We're quick at blaming other people for things that we have done or things that have happened to us or things that we don't like, and we look just like the world that we live in. Like, instead of the church, culture is doing a much better job discipling us and everybody else on how to deal with disappointment and discouragement and pain and circumstances and sin. Just blame somebody else like Adam and Eve. The culture is discipling us to do this instead of the church doing that. That can't happen in the church. Like, not only does that bring no reconciliation, healing, or unity, but what's worse, if the church is quick to blame, the church will be quick to blend in. We're not called to blend in. We're called to stand out. We're called to stand out big time. We're called to stand out as the light of the world, not look like the world that we live in. But when we blame, we just look like everybody else. We just look like everybody else. If you own your stuff, like just, hey, here's my mess. Here's what I've done. Here's what I need to own. Here's what I need to confess. If you ask for forgiveness from people, unprovoked, if you repent of stuff, I mean, you're gonna look so countercultural. Because our world expects you to blame other people. You did this, well, it's their fault. Blame them. This happened to you, well, it's that person's fault. Blame them. Our world expects you to place blame on other people. But if you respond like Jesus, you're gonna look completely different. It's gonna mess with people's heads. I mean, Jesus, of all people, did he not have more reason, more justified reason to blame other people for the suffering he went through? Yeah, he did. He was perfect. He could have been justified blaming whoever he wanted. He could have said, hey, it's their fault. But instead, he said, Father, forgive them. That's a very different stance. And if that's your stance, if that's your demeanor, if that's your response, you're going to stand out as an example of salt and light. You're gonna stand out as an example of mature leadership. You're gonna stand out as an example of selflessness and humility and compassion. Who doesn't wanna be around that? You're gonna stand out because you look like Jesus. Now, to be really clear, there is a difference between blame and accountability. Absolutely, huge difference. Should people be accountable for their actions? 100%, absolutely. That's the justice conversation. God is a God of justice. So we are people of justice, absolutely. But that's not the conversation we're having today. That's an outward discussion. Today we're having an inward conversation. What's going on with you? Like, what's going on in here? Because that's where blame comes from. Not only is placing blame on other people a way to play out you can be like God, it's also a way for you to put yourself in the seat of judge and jury. That's what Adam is doing. He's talking over people. Blaming people is talking over them. That's what he's trying to do. Adam's trying to make himself look better than God by blaming God. He's trying to make himself look better than Eve by blaming Eve. It's this really weird, twisted version of virtue signaling where you can say, yeah, I did this, but look what they did. They did this, that's why I'm in the spot that I'm in. That's why I did this. They did that, but look how awful they are. Look how much better I am than that person or that group of people. It's a way to raise yourself up by pushing other people down. It just reinforces the lie that you can be like God. It was the woman that you gave me that gave me the fruit. It was the serpent, it was Satan that deceived me. Not only are they blaming, but they're also playing the victim card. And this is a card that's getting played more and more every single day. Do you notice this? And what's actually happening right now is that victimhood is being encouraged. Now, I want to be really, really clear and sensitive on this one. Because there are people that have been victims of all kinds of things. Like, there's people in this room right now that have been victims of things, people online, victims of things, absolutely. Whether it's victim of assault, abuse, racism, betrayal, bullying, slander, theft. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That stuff is very, very real. And as a pastor, I've got a front row seat to some of this stuff. Seeing it and hearing about it. Horrific stories over the years. There's some stories I'm never going to be able to get out of my head. Stuff I'm not going to share from up here because it's just too graphic. That stuff is very real. Stuff has probably happened to you. It's happened to me. I got bullied pretty bad in middle school. I've been jumped before. That's happened. That stuff is real. So I'm not going to tell you just to rub some dirt on it and get over it. That's not what we do. But I do want you to see the cycle that's going on right now. Because somehow in our culture, being a victim has become a virtue. And me saying that may sound offensive, like I'm just disregarding or downplaying what's ever happened to you or other people. I'm not. But I want to tell you the truth so we can see this. What's happening right now is that we are creating a victimhood culture, and it's not a good thing. Here's how it works. The more things or people you have been a victim of increases your victim status, which actually gives you an incentive to claim victimhood to more things. Because the higher your victim status is, the more credibility you have and the more celebration you get, which inevitably reinforces that your identity is that you're a victim. The culture we live in is we search for anything that will be celebrated, and that's what we attach our identity to. So that's what's happening. That's what happens in a victimhood culture. It attaches that as an identity to everyone. That's a terrible identity. You are so much more than a victim. You are so much more than what happened to you. Now, whatever's happened to you, that stuff is real. Absolutely. I'm not downplaying that at all. That's part of your story, but that's not your identity. It's not your identity. The past is a great place for reflection. It is a terrible place for residence. Our past is a great place to reflect on things, seeing what has happened to us, understanding, man, here's how God has grown me. Here's how I've healed. Here's what I've learned from this. Here's what I need to reconcile because of. Here's how God can now use my story. The past is great to reflect on, but way too often we set up residence there. We just hang out in the past, never letting go what happened to us, letting that control us, letting that identify us, never healing. And the world wants you to hold on to that. The world wants you to hold on to your victimhood. In fact, the world will say, you know what? You're actually a victim of this, and you're a victim of that, and you're a victim of that, and you're a victim of that. Stuff you never even thought of. Stuff that doesn't even make sense. But the world will pile on more things that you're a victim of to reinforce that's your identity, because that's a prison. It's a prison. But know this. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. In Christ, you are not a victim. You are a victor that wins in the end, no matter what has happened to you or what will happen to you. But make no mistake, Satan wants you to keep an identity as a victim. You know why? He wants that to be your identity. Because victimhood keeps you focused on what happened to you instead of what happened for you. Massive difference. This is what's happening in our world. The spiritual warfare that is very real, don't be naive to it. The spiritual warfare that's real in our world wants you to focus on what has happened to you, that's your victimhood, because then you won't pay attention to what has happened for you. Yes, bad things have happened to all of us, for sure. Not downplaying that at all. Some things horrific, worse than others. But no matter what your story is, no matter what has happened to you, something greater has happened for you. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross, your victimhood was nailed to a tree, and in return, you were offered redemption and victory. Now, you might be saying, you know, Matt, like, you sound really insensitive right now. Like, we need to be taking care of victims. We need to help them. We need to offer healing. We need to bring about reconciliation. To that, I would say amen, for sure. We're called to reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we are ministers of reconciliation. Not just some dude on the stage that's a pastor of a church. All of us, we're ministers of reconciliation. Jesus came, and one of the things that he did was he healed people. Absolutely, we should offer healing. Absolutely, we should bring reconciliation. But that cannot happen if we say that people are identified as victims. That's step number one. If we don't just call out this victimhood culture, people are never gonna heal. They're never gonna be reconciled. They're just gonna stay in pain. They're gonna identify something that they are far, far more than. This battle is going on, and it's very real. And it's a cycle that started all the way back in Genesis 3 when Satan said, you can be like God. You should be like God. If you're not, then you're a victim. You should blame somebody else. What was the last thing that he said in Genesis 3? If you notice that, he said, you can be like God. Then he kept his mouth shut the rest of the way. That's all it took to set this cycle into motion that we are still stuck in today. It's not getting better, it's getting worse because we've stuck our head into the sand. I'm the most guilty of that. It's easy to be comfortable, it's easy not to stir up the waters, but that's where we've gotten to. Like you and I, man, I'll just speak for me, I don't know about you. I get caught up in this all the time. I'm really good at blaming other people for things. I've gotten better to realize I probably shouldn't blame other people for things that I've done because I got to teach my kids not to do that, so I better live that out. But man, it's really quick. It's really easy for me to blame things on people that I don't like, things that are happening that affect me that I don't like. I'm great at it. I get stuck in the cycle. It's you and I still trying to play out that maybe we really can be like God. And we do that by blaming people, by claiming to be a victim, and we never get out of it. We're stuck as captives. Here's the good news, though. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. Like, make no mistake, every person who has ever drawn breath on this planet needs to be set free. And Jesus is the only person, the only way that that can happen. Listen to this. Let me give you a couple examples. This is Isaiah 61. This is a prophecy about Jesus. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released. Not maybe, not if everything goes okay, will be released and prisoners will be freed. Prisoners of sin, captives of blame, captives of victimhood. And then Jesus, 700 years after this was written about him, 700 years later, Jesus reads this same prophecy in a room full of people. In Luke 4, he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, not just financially poor, poor in spirit. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The Lord's favor is right now. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. That was him putting the period on all of it. That's great news. In Jesus, not in a social movement, not in a political movement, not from men or women, Jesus, only in Jesus is victory found. Couple examples, Exodus 15. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. That's a lyric from a song that was sung right after the Israelites walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. When God saved them from the Egyptians. He freed them out of 400 years of slavery, 400 years of oppression. They say, no, I have victory. Psalm 48, your strong right hand is filled with victory. Your strong right hand that's filled with victory, the reason why it is because that right hand was driven through with a nail. Romans 8, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And one more, Psalm 62. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. Nowhere else. There's no victory outside of Jesus. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? Well, number one, maybe it's time for you to repent and be baptized. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior and followed him as your Lord, maybe that's time. If he's stirring something in you. Doesn't mean you don't have questions. It doesn't mean you don't have it all worked out. But like we've talked about for the last 2 weeks, God calling you out of hiding, saying, hey, come on, just bring it to me. Bring your mess, bring who you are. I want to know you and I want you to know me. Lay it down at my feet and it's done. It's forgiven. This is what happened in Acts chapter 2. Peter's preaching the gospel and it says that 3,000 people are like, what do we do with this? This Jesus, we want him. What do we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized. We're going to do that in 2 weeks. On June 6th, we're going to have baptisms. Maybe that's your next step. It's not, man, I want to go all in. I want to follow Christ. Let's take that step of baptism. You can text that number. You can check out our website, get signed up. You can go to the New Here desk afterwards. Any questions you have, we'll walk you through that. Then maybe it's time for you to be in that tank in 2 weeks. Two, if you are a follower of Jesus, this should be a reminder to you. You need to be preaching this message to yourself every day because it's so easy for all of us to start blaming people, all of us to start claiming to be victims when our identity is a victor. You may be a victim of something, absolutely, but that's not who you are. You are a victor in Christ. Remind yourself of that. We need it. I need to be reminded of that weekly, all the time, especially when stuff's not going well. Because I can say, woe is me, really easily. Ask my wife. You're not a victim, you're a victor in Christ. Remind yourself of that. And then three, go tell other people. You were a captive that had been set free by Jesus. We are representatives of Jesus. Our job is to go set captives free. Let him use you. Go tell people the truth. Because if we just keep letting this victimhood culture go on and not pointing, you don't have to be a jerk about it. Graciously point out, no, there's something more. Validate what people have been through and then say, hey, I got something better for you. It's not arrogant. It's just the truth. You didn't do it. It's all Jesus. It has nothing to do with you or me. It's all because of Christ. Set captives free by telling them the truth. That's why we're here, to introduce people to Jesus and lead them in their next steps with him, setting captives free. Hey, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for freeing us. Jesus, thank you for having the courage and the humility to let a nail be driven through your hand so that you could offer us victory with that same hand. Father, would you break the bonds of blaming? Would you break the bonds of victimhood culture? Would you let everyone in this room and everyone that's joining us online, would you let us all realize that we're not victims, but we are victors in you, that you offer victory, and let us take hold of that and never let go of it. Father, I pray that our church would be a place where healing and reconciliation happen because there's victory here in Jesus, and the people not only own it and know it, but they live it out. That this place is full of humility and compassion and selflessness. And use us to set captives free. And let that not just be on Sunday mornings, but Monday through Saturday, even more so. We're your servants. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. And if you're new here, we talked about this in the 9 o'clock last week. If you're new here, them applauding right there, that's not for me. They're just applauding truth. I'm not that good of a speaker anyway. So we're just applauding truth right here. So that's what that is. It has nothing to do with any individual. But we're glad you're here. And if you want to know what your next step is, man, go to the New Here sign afterwards. It's that bright neon blue sign. We can get you connected. If you have any questions at all, or text this number on the screen right now. One of our staff members will reach out to you right now and get you connected, answer any questions that you have. Guys, have a fantastic rest of the weekend, and we will see you back here next Sunday. Have a good week.